Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio, and happy July 4th, 2017 weekend, the birthday of America. You know, this morning, what time is it? Oh, it's 3 o'clock in the morning again. How do you like that? You know, I love doing this show for you. Otherwise, I would not be a nut. Here broadcasting to you at 3 in the morning, recording for many of you, for stations to use later, and for those of you, most of you, in fact. Our podcast listeners actually outnumber our radio listeners. It's amazing. That is modern technology, right? There was virtually none of this 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. It's amazing. But this is July 4th weekend. Special weekend, one of my favorite holidays, not because of barbecues and summertime. I don't get to do that anyway. We're busy haying and fighting rain and trying to keep ponds under control and projects and all sorts of things and working on the books and, you know, just going crazy. But July 4th is one of my favorite holidays because it's the birthday of our country. And I have, I hope, what you will agree is a special treat for you today. And that is, if you look below the audio bar, you will not be able to get this anywhere else but either podcast or on our website, www.ontherightsideradio.com. If you look below the audio bar of today's show, you will see a link which will bring you right to, and you can listen to, I mean, one click, and you're in, a rerun of my 2013 July 4th show, which was wildly popular. And at that time, 2013, that's 4 years ago, our listenership was a fraction, like 10% of the million-plus folks that listened to us. So many of you have not heard that show. And it is a pretty in-depth analysis of the Declaration of Independence and its relevancy then and now. And I think you'll really enjoy it. And it's a, I did a lot of research on it. And I think you'll find it a great history lesson. And I almost guarantee you, 99%, that most of you will listen to that show. You will know more about the Declaration of Independence and as a adjunct, because it really has nothing to do with Independence Day, you know, the Constitution. So please listen in. I think it'd be great. And after you listen in, let the kids listen in. I mean, it's something that all Americans need to know and understand, because these are amazing documents written by courageous people who knew that their signature on that declaration was a death warrant. They were signing their own death warrant with Britain. It's a really remarkable story of courage, of freedom, of conviction. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. So, here's what we're going to do this morning, because you have the July 4, 2013 show to listen to, and I really want you to do that. So we're going to hit a number of topics today, and then you can click on the July 4th, 2013 show and listen and enjoy. First of all, we're going to go over, and in no particular order. I'm going to start this off with a story, as always. I started doing this about 3 months ago, and people love the stories at the beginning of the show. So I'm going to start off with a story. Today's story is kind of dark and scary, What's really dark and scary about it, as you'll find out at the end of the story and the follow-up, is that it's not a story at all, although it's crazy, crazy, and it's true. We're going to do a very brief update on Trump versus the deep state, because, you know, there's only so much you can do, but there's some things here that you need to know, some dots I need to tie in for you, and I'm going to do it very quickly. And we are going to talk a little bit about Germany turning Islamic within the next 20 years, very briefly. We are going to talk a little bit about Julian Assange and some stuff he's come out with about the Democratic Party and his predictions for that party of alt-left slash Islamist alliances. And we are going to also talk about some good news. Homeland Security defunds Islamic groups. Gee, didn't get any news anywhere, did it? Nope, sure didn't. And then I got some interesting stats on where people get their news now. You know, I was just talking about the podcasts and how popular they are. And even people listening right in on the website rather than on AM stations and stuff. It's pretty amazing. I was fascinated by this chart, and I'm just going to give you the highlights off it on where different age groups get their news. It's remarkable. Remarkable. So that is what we are going to talk about. And I may have a few other little things here, like spineless rhinos, if we have time, because I'm doing all this really rat-tat-a-tat-tat this morning so that you can get to that July 4th show. Click on it. And we may have something on the Supreme Court, if I have time. I'm trying to limit this portion of the show, if you will, today's current events, and dots leading to tomorrow's current events, to about 45 minutes. We'll see how, you know me, yak, 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 yak. We'll see if I can do that, which will give you plenty of time to listen to the July 13th show, which is about 50 minutes. Okay, here we go. Our story. Let me tell you a story. So once upon a time, there was this fairy tale land. It was large, and it was abundant in resources. It had many, many, many people, hundreds of millions. And for the most part, not all, they were happy, and they were prosperous. And they had freedoms. They could do pretty much what they want, when they want. And they were awakening in a watchful way to a government that they had suddenly come to understand was, shall we say, less a friend and more an enemy of their individual rights and their prosperity and their family's safety and security and their privacy. And in this magical land, people played and they started their businesses, and they had fun, and they fell in love, and they got married, and whatever they did. And they were free to do so. They could leave home, stay home, do whatever they want. I mean, it was more or less a happy place with some hiccups. You know, no place is perfect. And then, unbeknownst to them, because they were busy being happy, or trying to be happy, these dark forces, we'll call them the Empire, and not in a galaxy long ago, and not in a time far away, these dark forces behind the scenes, under various guises, barely covered by the press that these people relied on to stay abreast of what was going on, began to amass their power, to work collectively, to number one, identify the people, number two, share the information amongst all themselves in the empire about the people, And number three, to employ that information to make the happy place a place of, shall we say, indentured slavery without freedom. Now, I bet you wonder how this story winds up. Well, let me tell you on this July 4th that this story is true, as I'm about to demonstrate to you, and that the last chapters of this story have yet to be written. And what the final chapter is, and what the conclusion of this nonfiction novel might be, is up to all of us. Did you know that Amazon bought Whole Foods this last week? About $13.7 billion. Yeah, I bet most of you don't know that. It wasn't widely covered other than some of the business press. Did you know that Amazon and the CIA work hand in hand on many things? I know you folks are shaking your head going, what is he talking about? Let me tell you what I'm talking about. Next week I'm going to post some articles on this, in fact. So Jeff Bezos owns Amazon. He's a multi-billionaire. He bought the Washington Post, if you remember, in 2013. The Washington Post is no friend of the American people. It is certainly not a friend of populist nationalism and Mr. Trump. However, it is a big friend of the CIA and the deep state. So when the Washington Post, folks, prints articles about from leakers and about the CIA and the intelligence services, may I suggest, and I'm being really kind, you take them with a grain of salt. So, Bezos, this last week, and Amazon bought Whole Foods. At the same time, Bezos and the CIA have invested money together in new technology, which more accurately and in great detail profiles people and shares information with other huge businesses and other intelligence agencies much more rapidly and in much greater amounts than ever before. Again, I know you're shaking your head. I'm going to give you the facts here. You can Google it up yourself and check. So, I don't think it's any surprise that many Whole Foods customers are kind of libertarian, anti-government, kind of do their own thing, don't believe all the big food conglomerate stuff. I don't think that's a surprise. It's also not a surprise, as you know, the government is deeply embedded in Walmart. I mean, Walmart is privately owned, but it is hugely government-linked. Now, Jeff Bezos, who is partnering with the CIA on information stuff, including, by the way, the profiling of, yes, Whole Foods customers, increased profiling of Amazon customers. That's a lot of people, folks. I mean, that's, if you buy on Amazon, or you buy through Whole Foods, or if you buy certain stuff at Walmart online, particularly food, I might add, you are getting profiled. And just recently, that profiling is in much more depth and is being shared by these retailers, members of the deep state, with other members of the deep state, i.e., government agencies. I'm not trying to sound paranoid here. This is no tinfoil hat stuff. This is happening, folks. This is happening, and it's happening rapidly, and it's not being covered at all. At all. You know how sophisticated the algorithms at Amazon are. For instance, ranking books. Just, you know, what's a bestseller, what's not a bestseller. But it's much, 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 much more than that. You might have noticed, particularly over the last 6 months, with increasing rapidity and increasing frequency, you go online and you check out something. Let's say you go to Amazon, you check out a pink widget. And all of a sudden, no matter what site you go to, there's advertisements, and it might not be from Amazon, but there's advertisements for pink widgets and black widgets and yellow widgets and chartreuse widgets. This is all part of what I'm talking about right now. Now, I know if you're online, you've experienced this. I know. And I know that you've probably noticed in the last 6 months, it's way more frequent than it's ever been before. And in an eerie way, way more accurate. Like, these people know every place you've been, and they're trying to sell you something, or do something, or get you to take some action. The CIA owns a private company which it founded. It's called Qtel. InQtel, if you really want to know. InQtel. InQtel. It was founded by the CIA in 1999 to put investment money in tech outfits, you know, technological outfits that could develop new ways to facilitate data collection and service other CIA needs, by the way. Qtel, Jeff Bezos, through his private investment foundation, and Amazon are connected, folks. Let me give you a little excerpt from a 2012 article from technologyreview.com. Check it out for yourself, please. Quote, inside a blocky building in a Vancouver suburb, across the street from a dowdy McDonald's in a place chilled colder than anywhere in the known universe. Inside that is a computer processor that Amazon founder Jeff Bezos and the CIA's investment arm, InQtel, believe can tap the quirks of quantum mechanics to unleash more computing power than any conventional computer chip. Bezos and InQtel are in a group of investors who are betting $30 million on this project. The article continues, quote, Canadian company D-Wave Systems raised $30 million to develop quantum computing systems. Bezos Expeditions, the personal investment company of Amazon founder Jeff Bezos, and CIA venture capital arm in InQtel participated in the latest funding round the firm announced. The company's quantum computing technology seeks to speed up data crunching. If successful, the technology could aid in automated intelligence gathering and analysis, end quote. By the way, other companies who have purchased stuff from D-Wave Systems, you think I'm kidding about this, right? Goldman Sachs, Lockheed Martin, and a host of others. But let's get back to Whole Foods, shall we? So, you know, on the surface, it appears kind of innocuous. This very wealthy company, very wealthy founder of the company, Amazon, doing very well, wants to expand its internet punch. So it buys the preeminent, quote-unquote, natural foods supplier in the United States. And pays, you know, a lofty sum of the $13.7 billion. I mean, it seems kind of like a business transaction on the surface, doesn't it? You bet. Well, things aren't, as we discuss here every week, they're not exactly what they appear on the surface. Or shall we say, they're not exactly the picture that's painted for us. If any of you are familiar with Henry Kissinger, one of the premises of his foreign policy when dealing with adversaries or countries or governments he wanted to bring to heel was, quote, I quote now, quote, food as a weapon, unquote, which he employed quite successfully. Kissinger was no slouch. I'm glad he was on our side. If you take Walmart and you take Whole Foods, you are talking about literally close to 50% of the food supply in the United States. In other words, places where people buy food. The rest, and I'm not going to give you the exact percentages, the rest are your little local grocer, or the grocery chains, Safeway, you know, Albertsons, you know, and different places at different chains at different places, Kroger's at different places in the country. So you have a government who, under Barack Obama, pretty much took over healthcare, pretending that it didn't. And a government right now that is incapable, it appears, because of Rhino Republicans, to get anything done about that. You have a government that regulates, to a large degree, housing and zoning, and getting ever more so. I'm going to be updating some of my shows on Agenda 21. I've been on Coast to Coast with those shows, Republic National Radio, you name it. And Agenda 21 is one of the pet plans of the globalists out of the United Nations. And the edict of Agenda 21, I'm going to boil it all down for you. We'll get into greater detail. And if you want to listen to some of the shows, please type Agenda 21 in the search bar and listen away. I did a series of shows on this. But Agenda 21 basically says you will control the food, the air, the water, and the shelter of the population to control the population. I just boiled down a whole bunch of stuff, which is actually online at UN.org. You can go to UN.org, type in Agenda 21, read it for yourself. Not making this up. So all this kind of ties in, doesn't it? And we know that the deep state is pro-globalism. I mean, that we know. We know that the establishment are globalists. That we know. We know that globalists really kind of dislike individual freedoms because they are for the collective. And we know that globalists really dislike populist nationalism, Trump's brand of politics, because it is the antithesis to globalism. I'm giving you a lot of dots here. You can connect them as you wish on this July 4th weekend. But let me go a little bit further with the CIA and Amazon, because that's just the tip of the iceberg. Let me read you just one paragraph. This is June 17th, 2017. That, folks, is like 10 days ago. It's out of theatlantic.com. Theatlantic.com. Read the article for yourself. It's eye-opening. Quote, the intelligence community is about to get the equivalent of an adrenaline shot to the chest. This summer, that's now, folks, a $600 million computing deal, computing cloud developed by Amazon Web Services for the Central Intelligence Agency over the past year will begin servicing all 17 agencies that make up the intelligence community. If the technology plays out as officials envision, it will usher in a new era of cooperation and coordination, allowing agencies to share information and services much more easily and avoid the kind of intelligence gaps that preceded the September 11th, 2001 terrorist attacks. unquote. Now, folks, one of the things that the deep state, that globalists, that central government thinkers, that government lovers will tell you is you must do this or you must stop doing this or you must submit to XYZ if you want to be more safe, if you want to be more secure. And, you know, I can't think of a better time to bring up Thomas Jefferson, one of the founders, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. Make sure you listen to the 2013 show right below the audio bar. When he said, "He who sacrifices liberty for security shall wind up with neither." True then, 230 plus years ago, and true now, folks. True now. So, we have all sorts of links between Amazon and CIA, huh? We have Amazon actually developing software for the CIA, which Amazon uses also to promote its retail business and spread its spiel. We have Amazon, Jeff Bezos, owning the Washington Post, which seems to get more than its share of leaks from the intelligence community, most of them completely false, but so what? And who seems to run more articles than just about any paper other than maybe the New York Times about how wonderful our intelligence community is. These are all coincidences, of course. And one of the first papers, I might add, to talk about how we should do X, Y, and Z to be more safe and secure. Oh, of course. At the same time, we have stuff happening in the States which parallels all this. Remember, Agenda 21, food, water, air, shelter. And if you think about it, if somebody controls the roof over your head and your family's head, whether or not you get water and what kind of water it is, whether or not you get food and what kind of food it is, and what kind of air you breathe, I think they can pretty much tell you what the hell to do whenever they want to, can't they? You bet. Not to mention your health care, of course. So in Montana, you know, Montana has disappointingly gone purple. Too many progressives from New York and California moving in. But, and that's not to slap down the great Montanans that are still up there red, white, and blue, but the state has definitely changed. In fact, they have a mostly Democratic, not mostly, a majority Democratic Senate and legislature, even though they do elect occasional Republicans to Congress and the Senate, as they've done recently. And our new agricultural secretary, Ryan Zinke, who's terrific, a Republican and a who knows what he's doing in the field of agriculture and understands laissez-faire is better for farmers and better for the country. But I digress. So you have a liberal-leaning state, Montana. In 2014, they passed what was called the Confederate, and by this all ties in, the Confederated Kootenai and Salish Tribes Water Compact. They're waiting right now for the Senate of the United States to ratify it as a treaty. Do you begin to see how all this kind of ties in? It's all interconnected. Under this compact, to preserve the water for the Indian tribes, Montana, by the way, which I'm very, very, very familiar with, like every nook and cranny, is a huge state. As Donald will say, huge state. The Salish and Kootenai tribes are pretty much up in the northwest corner of the state, which is like a day's drive from the southeast corner of the state. I mean, the water that you use in Billings, Montana, trust me, doesn't affect one iota. It's also downstream. It does not affect one iota what kind of water is available to the two tribes up in the northwest part of the state. And I'm not familiar with the plight of the tribes or their water or anything else, but I will tell you the northwest part of Montana is a really wet place. I mean, there is lots of water, and there are huge rivers, and to the best of my knowledge, I don't know of any water problems, but anything is possible. But in any event, Montana has funded $3 million of the implementation of this treaty, and they don't get the other $8 million that they need to fully implement it until the Senate ratifies it as a treaty. And when they ratify it as a treaty, one of the things Montana plans to do under the guise of the security and safety of the people of Montana, and particularly these two Indian tribes, is to put meters, listen to this, folks, to put meters on every water source in Montana. That means if you live out in Timbuktu, Montana, far from the madding crowd with a well that is registered with the state, they're going to meter your well, your private well. I think that's kind of Agenda 21-ish, don't you? Have you ever heard of the term hammer and anvil? It's a military term. Well, I mean, obviously, it's a horseshoeing term, too. Yes, my producers reminded me. Of course it's a horseshoeing term. The cowboy knows that. But it's also a military term. What it means is it's a maneuver that crushes an enemy force between two friendly elements. And you know, I'm not sure they're friendly elements, but friendly to one another. I think you're seeing kind of a nasty alliance. Dwight Eisenhower warned about it 50 years ago. The military-industrial complex, in this case, the intelligence-industrial complex. And it's something that you should kind of keep abreast on. Keep your eyes open for. And where are these articles? I'll be posting them next week. It was too late this week to get them posted. But I'll be posting them next week. Follow some of the links in those articles and bookmark some of those pages and keep your eyes on it. And that ties right in, I think, with the Declaration of Independence, my 2013 show, which is really the bulk of today's show. All right. Very quickly, the Supreme Court issued what's called, since this is July 4th, we'll get technical, a per curiam decision. A per curiam decision in the Supreme Court of the United States means a decision with no opinion, either assenting or dissenting, and with no objection by any of the justices to the per curiam. And that per curiam decision, that means it was 9-0, folks. Even the left wingers, like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who is, you know, she's she's kind of left, and Sotomayor is kind of left. In any event, the decision was that Trump's travel ban, A, was constitutional, B, could be immediately implemented except for one small faction that had been included in the original executive order, and that is foreign nationals having legitimate ties to a business, I think it's to employment. I might be wrong on this. But to, should we say, a commercial enterprise or to a personal relationship like family in the United States. 9-0. This is after these morons in the district courts in Washington and Oregon and Hawaii, you know, after Barry Obama visited his buddy right before the decision. I brought you that story 2 months ago. These are after these moron district judges try and rewrite the Constitution and the laws from their benches, and the even worse Fourth and Ninth Circuit Courts of Appeals, totally stacked by Obama over the last 8 years, affirm these completely illegal and nonsensical orders by the district courts. All of them get thrown out by the Supreme Court, and it wasn't 5-4, folks. It was 9-0. That's what a slam dunk Trump's travel ban, other than that one segment of population, really was. And, of course, the liberals are jumping up and down saying, oh, well, they said they're going to have a real hearing in October, and that then we'll really find it. No, forget it. Forget it. When you get a 9-0 thing, lifting a stay and allowing the implementation of an order, which, by the way, is only for 90 days, which, by the way, ends prior to October. In other words, the October hearing is kind of moot, and the Supreme Court knows it's quite clever. You know, that's a big slapdown. It's also an important lesson on this July 4th, how important the third branch of government is, the judiciary. And the progressives have known this for years, which is why they stacked all the courts. And why it was so key that we got a president in there, I don't care who it was, it happens to be Donald Trump, who is going to appoint conservative justices at district courts, appeals courts, and particularly the Supreme Court. Although in this case it didn't matter because it was a 9-0 slapdown. You are all wet. Fourth Circuit, Ninth Circuit, Hawaii, Washington District Courts. I thought that was pretty cool. That kind of restored my confidence in the checks and balances, which otherwise has been chipped away at, shall we say, over the last 8 years of our friend Mr. Obama and his crooked administration with his crooked Attorney Generals Eric Holder and even more crooked Attorney General Loretta Lynch, who, by the way, we will be bringing up in another segment this morning. Next thing is, oh yes, 5.7 million illegal aliens voted. Oh, the mainstream media and the progressives say this is nonsense. There's no voter fraud. We don't need voter ID. We don't need, as Barack Obama said, we don't need to ask for any paperwork. We're suppressing votes if we ask for paperwork that you are a citizen of the United States when you register to vote or you cast your ballot. Now, I said, and you can go check the show, I said that there was at least 5 million illegal votes cast in the last election, 2016. Dead people, people registered twice, people voting in more than one place, dogs voting, people voting from addresses that don't exist or vacant lots, and of course, illegal aliens. And I got a bunch of emails, I think it was mostly from liberal trolls. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about, you're making this up. Guess what? Yes, it's true. Yes, it's true. And the Election Fraud Commission that Trump has set up is digging into it, and there's a bunch of studies being done. And I don't mean by right-wing think tanks, okay? There was a study by Just Facts Daily, a libertarian. I mean, they are, like, against everything. Think tank. And they are all for individuals and individual votes and all that kind of stuff. And there was a poll done by Harvard/U.gov. Hardly a left-wing organization, Harvard and U.gov. 5.7 million non-citizens in this poll said they had cast votes in Barack Obama's first election, 3.6 million of them said they cast votes for Barack Obama in the 2012 election. And with 21 million people in this particular study, which, by the way, is up from 19.4 million in 2008, quote, "It is therefore highly likely that millions of non-citizens cast votes in 2016, unquote, according to the Harvard/U.gov study. Quote, "Democrats had extensive get-out-the-vote campaigns in areas heavily populated by illegal aliens. Quote, as far back as 2008, Obama made sure that those who wanted to vote knew it was safe, announcing that election records would not be cross-checked with immigration databases. And last year, the Obama White House supported a court injunction that kept Kansas, Alabama, and Georgia from requiring proof of citizenship to register to vote." I'm going to have a lot more on this for you, folks. But it seems that my prognostication is correct. It might have even been low. And it also seems that Donald Trump's claim that he actually did win the popular vote, if you take out all the illegal votes, and his prognostication, which I think was, what, 4 or 5 million votes illegally cast, might also be right. And the Democrats are quaking in their boots. Because, you know, if you don't have a message, you can't win elections at any level, and the courts are knocking you down 9-0, the only thing you really got left, because you're a progressive and the end justifies the means, thank you, Saul Alinsky, is fraud, which they're really good at. Julian Assange. Boy, we're moving right through it, aren't we? And I'm almost kind of on time. Unbelievable. Julian Assange. Whatever you may think of this guy, he has never been incorrect. In other words, the information that he has stolen, I'm not condoning it, but the information that he has stolen and then passed on to the world, some cases with very detrimental effects, some cases with good effects, I think in all cases he doesn't really much care. He's just fixated on getting truth out as he sees it through stolen, hacked, whatever documents that he gets from who knows where. And it ain't Russia. I think it might be from a poor guy by the name of Seth Richards in the case of the last election. That's a whole other story, which I've covered and plan to keep covering. Let me tell you what he had to say. Quote, "The Trump-Russian collusion narrative being investigated by a number of probes consistently reported on by the media is unfounded, and we are left with a Democratic establishment blaming the public for not liking the truth about what Hillary Clinton said to Goldman Sachs and blaming their own base for not liking what they said in their own emails about fixing DNC primaries." And then he lists out, it's pretty fascinating, he listed out a list of 6 reasons that, in his words, the Democratic Party is doomed. Quote, "Needs the support of security sector and media barons to push this diversionary conspiracy agenda. But this strategy is unsustainable. The CIA and FBI will be turned against them when they merge with the Trump administration." That's code for when the deep state treasonous leakers are removed. Also, Assange, like in his deal, he blasted Trump, too. What did he say? "Who is embracing, quote, robber barons, dictators, and gravitas-free buffoons like the CIA's Mike Pompeo." So he kind of blasted everybody, but I thought it was very interesting. And by the way, he goes on in this to say that he forecasts the Democratic Party splintering into 2 parties before the 2020 election, which could very well happen. In fact, folks, that could happen to the Republican Party. You could go into 2020 with three or four relatively major political parties. And it's something I'm going to talk about over the next 6 months. But that's all we're going to say about it this morning. Quick update on Trump versus Swamp. There's all sorts of stuff going on here. It's unbelievable. A lot of it now behind the scenes, but investigations of Lynch have begun in the Senate. Yay! Susan Rice, liar extraordinaire, even for the Obama administration, liar extraordinaire. You know, Susan Rice, Benghazi, Bo Bergdahl. Oh, I never heard of anything about that kind of intelligence guy. Oh, I guess I did, but I never asked things to be unmasked. Oh, I guess I did ask for things to be unmasked, but it was all for national security, blah, blah, blah. That Susan Rice is now, quote-unquote, agreeing, of course she was subpoenaed, to testify before Congress. In the meantime, the documents, which kind of prove all this treasonous surveillance and unmasking activity by Obama, Lynch, Rice, the UN ambassador at the time, Ben Rhodes. Oh, those documents got salted away, they think. I think not. Under law for 5 years because they're going to where? Oh, the Obama Library, which is being paid, if you listen to my last week's show about Illinois going broke, which is being funded at least in part by Illinois, which is bankrupt, to the tune of $100 million. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It's really, you really can't make this stuff up. It's amazing. It is amazing. I could use all this for the basis of an unbelievable modern-day cowboy spy thriller. And nobody would believe it. They go, this guy's like off his rocker. Where did he come up with this stuff? Oh, wow, I just read the news. Yeah. Oh. The dossier, you know, the golden Niagara Falls dossier, where Trump allegedly had prostitutes urinate on the bed that Barack Obama and Michelle Obama slept in Moscow, all this crap. A, totally made up. B, we find out today that Comey gave that dossier, completely made up, I'll get to that in a moment, to Obama. Next, we learn that the dossier, you're going to love this, was paid for. Was the Clinton campaign paid somebody to write this dossier. They made it up out of whole cloth, financed and funded by the Clinton organization. Unbelievable. The name of the outfit that they hired to make up this story that then went to Comey, who then passed it on to Obama as intelligence. And by the way, who tried to hire the guy for $50,000 who wrote the dossier. This is the same Comey as the FBI director at the time. Once again, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, it's just too bizarre. The name of the outfit is Fusion GPS. Then you tie in the fact that 90, I think it was 93 or 97, does it really matter? Over 90% of campaign monies, campaign contributions by FBI staff to any campaign in 2016 went to, oh, Hillary's campaign. My, amazing. And who leaked the dossier to the... Oh, that's right, the CIA, John Brennan. Oh, yeah, that guy who hates Trump and did all that stuff. I gotcha. And the unmasking, he's right in bed there with Susan Rice. And yeah. Amazing. Then we find out that Congress had to go through Department of Justice to get subpoenas issued while they were trying to investigate this whole process before Obama left office. Now, think about this. Loretta Lynch meets with Bill Clinton on the tarmac. 3 days later, Hillary Clinton says Loretta Lynch is going to remain as Attorney General. 1 or 2 days after that, Comey does his first weird press conference talking about the 17 felonies or whatever it was that Hillary Clinton absolutely committed, and then says, but no reasonable prosecutor could bring the case. And shortly thereafter, gives Barack Obama the dossier that Hillary Clinton paid to develop. Oh, okay, there's no connection here. You know, move right along. Nothing to see. Nothing to see here. And to investigate any of this, Congress had to go through the Department of Justice, Loretta Lynch, to get subpoenas to subpoena documents and witnesses to investigate it. Which, by the way, you know, really weren't issued. Okay, got it. Got it. And then we find out that, oh, there was a sex discrimination charge against the second in command of the FBI at that time, McCabe, now the acting director. And you'll remember McCabe, I've had a story or two on him, who used his FBI offices and prestige to try and help get his wife, a Democrat and Hillary supporter, elected, who took $500,000 from the state Democratic Party in the state that she was running in. There was a sexual discrimination charge against him, and do you know who stood up for the gal who brought the sex discrimination charge against McCabe? Huh. I think his name is General Flynn. So maybe General Flynn's illegal surveillance of General Flynn, which ties into all this previous stuff we've been talking about, and his very illegal unmasking Susan Rice, John Brennan, Mr. Comey, didn't have anything to do with national security. Maybe it had to do with a personal vendetta, because General Flynn supported a sexual harassment allegation by the way, by a gal who was like the tops, one of the top two or three anti-terrorism experts at the FBI. This was no low mucky muck. I mean, she was a head honcho of the whole anti-terrorism, counter-terrorism, counterintelligence operations at the FBI. I mean, she was high up. And Flynn supported her, and then suddenly Flynn gets slammed. Who leaked Flynn's name? We'll find out. We'll find out now that Loretta is not the Attorney General anymore. In fact, Loretta may be headed to jail. What a shame that would be. Yes. And then, of course, in the melee this week, which has been overshadowed by all sorts of other stuff, including one stupid tweet by Trump, we have the Washington Post. That's right, Bezos's paper admitting that Obama knew in August about the Russian interference or attempted interference and didn't do a damn thing because he thought Hillary was going to be elected and who cares? Wow. There was a poll also by Harvard. Very interesting. 73% of those polled couldn't care less about Russia interference other than the Russian probes are interfering with Congress doing things that matter to them. That's a huge percentage. And 66% of those polled think the whole Russia nonsense is hurting the country unnecessarily. Pretty interesting poll. Next week, by the way, I'm going to talk a little bit about AMAC versus AARP. Those of you near retirement age, maybe some of you others, know about these two outfits, at least AARP, and I'm going to tell you why, along with a number of other businesses, you shouldn't use AARP, and if you're in it, you should get out and go to AMAC. Kind of the conservative AARP, because AARP is like left of the moon. All right. Very quickly, Homeland Security defunds, disinvites Islamic groups favored by Obama. Number one, by the way, the White House, for the first time in 8 years, yay, did not have a Ramadan dinner. Or any Islamic dinner whatsoever. How nice. Even saved us a food bill. And Kelly, the head of DHS, has quashed a bunch of grants to a bunch of Islamic organizations that Obama had funded in the past, and in January signed orders funding again. You know, once again, Obama's residuals. Well, that's all gone, including an $800,000 grant for an Islamic seminary in Los Angeles, a $393,000 grant for Muslim Public Affairs Council, blah, 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 and a host of others. Now, all that's kind of cool. And then they put the final screw. They turn the final screw in this order. I love it. The June 23rd statement of DHS says, if you want funding and you are an Islamic or Muslim organization, the funding will be determined in the order of priority of your cooperation with law enforcement. I love that. I really do. And very last and very least, before you can scoot over and listen to the Declaration of Independence show, which I really recommend you do. I think you really enjoy it. And you can listen to it any time and let the kids listen, etc. So where do American adults get their news? This is really interesting. This is Pew Research Center, by the way, July 5th, 2016, although I'm just seeing it now. So in the age group 65 plus, what do you think? Television, number one. Print newspapers, number two. Everything else, kind of a distant three and four. In the 50 to 64 age group, number one, television. Number two, online. Number three, radio. And they're about tied, online and radio. And last, print newspapers. In the 30 to 49 age group, number one, online. Amazing. Look at the difference in these age groups. Online, number one. Number two, TV. Number three, radio. And print newspapers, even less than the 50 to 64 group. Now, 18 to 29. Online, number one by a mile. Number two, television. Number three, radio. And newspapers are like 5%. You think newspapers are in decline, folks? Do you think online is on the rise? And do you think that this is a function of age demographic? You bet. I want to wish all of you, I had the great honor to participate in the Move America Forward Troopathon 2 days ago and do interview, blah, 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 and you know, honored to kind of be on the same, I wouldn't say stage, because I did mine by Skype, but on the same, involved in the same event as Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham and Mark Levin and Texas Governor Steve Abbott and Ted Cruz. I mean, it was a bunch of hitters up there, okay? Way more so than the poor old hayseed here. But nonetheless, it was an honor. It was an honor to help the troops. It was an honor to donate the 10,000, actually 9,800 to be exact, Threads West Book Ones last Christmas. I plan to do that again this year to troops serving in the Mideast. And it's a strict honor. And if you, what Move America Forward does is send care packages with all sorts of goodies in them to troops overseas in hot zones. And obviously much of that's going to the Mideast now. And if you get a chance, go to Move America, I believe it's moveamericaforward.org or troopathon.org. I mean, it's very easy to find. The producers may even have the link here on the homepage of the On the Right Side Radio website. And, you know, send them $10. Send a package to a soldier who's protecting your freedoms. You know, I look out my kitchen window and I see a vast expanse of incredibly beautiful ranch land with no lights, no roofs. And you are looking out your windows. Perhaps you're seeing the same. I know I got a lot of ranchers and rural people that listen to me. Or maybe you're in an apartment somewhere in a city. I mean, I got people listening to me there too. And your view is obviously different. Or maybe your view out the window is, you know, of the pool in the condo association. Or maybe your view is of your few acres in a suburb. Or half acre in a suburb. Whatever. I want you to think about something. The reason you have that view, the reason you have that house and that private property right or that living area, the reason you can leave it anytime you want, come back anytime you want, decorate it the way you want, say what you think in and outside of it, is because of those troops. Send $10, $20, $50, $100, whatever. Support the people who preserve your freedoms, particularly on this July 4th weekend. I hope all of you have just the best July 4th ever, with lots of hot dogs, hamburgers, whatever your choice of beverage, a great time with your family and your friends, catch some fish, float some rivers, do whatever you like to do, and enjoy it thoroughly. But remember how many people have given their lives for you to do that. And remember the people who originally pledged their lives, their property, and their sacred honor to sign that instrument which started this ball of freedom, the Declaration of Independence. Enjoy the rerun of the 2013 show. Feel free to send me comments. Have a wonderful and safe holiday. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. We will talk to you next week for sure.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.